We welcome you listening to the internet, returning to Genesis chapter 4 as we continue our series in this book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 4, the first individuals born into the world. Adam was made from the dust of the ground. God breathed into his body the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He was made an adult, didn't know anything about childhood. Eve, his wife, was made from his side. And these are the first children born into the world. They came, humanly speaking, through parents, Adam and Eve, as all of us have. But they're all living souls, accountable to God. The story of Cain and Abel. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, literally from the face of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, the land of wanderings, literally, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael. Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer of brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Literally, then the beginning occurred to call upon the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless the public reading of His inspired Scriptures to our hearts. Chapter 3 records the fall of man into sin. Chapter 4 records the spread of sin into man. The first two children born into the world give us the tale of two brothers, really the tale of two ways. Genesis 3:15 said that there would be two ways, two groups of people in the earth. The offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. In the New Testament, it's called basically those who are saved and those who are not saved. Christians and those who are not. The world is the offspring, the seed of the serpent. And the serpent was the creature who gave the devil leeway to use him as an instrument to cause Eve to fall into sin. And the offspring or the seed of the woman are the saints. The offspring of the woman is represented in Abel. Abel became a believer. He became a saint. He was born in sin. He was the second child, most likely. We don't know if there are any in between, but I believe that they were the first two born. He was born in sin. He had to become a believer. Hebrews 11 tells us that he was a man of faith. He was a man who put his faith in the Lord. Cain represents the offspring of the serpent, the worldling, who never became a believer. And so we look at this morning the way of the world, the way of Cain, the marks of the offspring of the serpent. If you follow the book of Genesis, you find that Moses, the writer of Genesis, moved by the Spirit to write this book, usually gives us a brief record of the ungodly line before elaborating on the godly lines. For instance, he gives us a brief record of Cain, and then he gives us a more extensive record of Adam and Eve and the godly line in chapter 5, for instance. We find a brief record of Ham's line, and then a more extensive line of Shem and Abraham later on. Then we have Ishmael, a brief mention of his line, and then Isaac more extensively. Then we have Esau given a brief mention, and the line of Jacob, particularly Joseph, concludes the book. So the Lord in His goodness recognizes indeed the line of the serpent, the line of the worldling, the line of people that perish. He gives them life as well as He gives us. Gives them His goodness to let them see the light of day and to enjoy His earth. But they never know His grace and mercy and salvation and perish. But God is taking note of them. He knows each person. He's omniscient. He knows where everyone lives. He knows who is born. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. He knows every individual that lives on this earth. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. As you can hear my voice this morning, He can hear your thoughts, so to speak. He knows your thoughts, your intentions. He knows what's going through your mind. He knows your heart. And it's not just a matter of a static knowledge, but that this knowledge is certainly going to bring an alarm to souls one day if they perish without the Savior, that you're going to give account for your thoughts and your words and your deeds if you live this life and you die and you perish in your sins. Every man shall give account of himself to God. We couldn't just jump to the way of Abel, to the way of the believer this morning. I want us to think about the way of Cain. This is how Jude puts it. That there were those that lived in Jude's day. Jude was a half-brother of the Lord Jesus. There's a one-chapter book in the New Testament called the Epistle According to Jude. And in his short epistle, he wanted to write about the common salvation that is common to, that is, Christ is a common Savior. He's the only Savior. He's the only mediator between God and men. Not common as in cheap, but common as available to all kinds of sinners throughout all the world. He wanted to write simply about the gospel and our common salvation, but there was a threat going on to the church in his day of those who were infiltrating the church and trying to destroy the people of God and bringing false doctrine in and false application of doctrine. And he said, I want you to be warned of people that though they have different names and faces, they're representing the way of previous apostates and heretics and false teachers and worldlings, like those who follow the way of Cain. We'll look at what the way of Cain is this morning. The way of Cain. It's a revelation to us and a warning that we need to be detached from this line. If you're here without Jesus Christ, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're not born of the Spirit of God, you know, you're in the way of Cain. You're in the line of the world. You're lined up with the seed of the serpent. You're on your way to perish in your sins. You need to flee from the wrath that's coming. You need to detach yourself from the line of Cain. Cain was a son, the first child born into the world. He was born to believing parents. Adam and Eve became believers. They were saved. They were forgiven of their sins. Probably the very first night, the night of their fall, God in His grace and mercy saved their souls. And they must have been so happy to see Cain born into the world. Eve named him Gotten of the Lord. She acknowledged the Lord's goodness in giving her Cain, giving them Cain, and they felt that he was going to certainly be in the line of the believer. But it wasn't long before their hopes were dashed. And other sons and daughters of Adam and Eve went this way as well, for Cain had to marry one of his sisters. He had to marry someone that followed him out of the presence of God into the land of Nod. In the early beginning, there were obviously brothers and sisters marrying because that's the way it would have to be for a while before that became forbidden. But the sad thing is that there was a sister that was willing to follow Cain, her brother. She must have had the same heart. She must have agreed with his departure from the living God. And of course, you see the development of that line a little bit in chapter 4. I want us to consider some marks of the offspring of the serpent as an identification of the way of the worldling and for a clear warning for souls to avoid this way and to leave this way and for us to be awakened that we seek to direct people to the living and true God and discern between the believer and the unbeliever, between the Christian and the worldling. Christians beware, and may worldlings believe. The way of the world, a mark of the offspring of the serpent, begins with works righteousness. Works righteousness. The Bible tells us that in the process of time, literally the end of the days, whether this was in harvest time, there are commentators that insist that this means at the end of the week. It's literally the end of the day. So there are many commentators that indicate that this must have been the Sabbath day. But I don't think we can be dogmatic about it. Certainly on the Lord's Day is a time that we increase our devotion, our time, and our efforts of worship, that the public worship of God is commanded, and there's much more prayer that's want to be made, and more preaching and teaching of the Word than probably any other day of the week. As many living churches are gathered together, we know today on Sunday, the Lord's Day. But be that as it may, a particular time had come for them to bring their offerings, to worship God. No doubt they had been taught by their parents, Adam and Eve, that we need to worship God in particular ways, not any way that we devise. God determines the way that we approach Him. And we can read between the lines that God's slaying of those animals to clothe Adam and Eve, He was teaching them that in order for them to approach Him, they must approach Him through a sacrifice. There must be substitutionary sacrifices. In other words, God cannot be approached directly by any individual, by any sinner. There has to be a mediator represented in that deceased animal, in that sacrifice, picturing the Lord Jesus Christ who would come from heaven and be sacrificed so that we could have a bridge between us and God, a ladder between heaven and earth. So Cain and Abel were being taught by their parents that not only do we need, a sacrifice for our family, we all need to come individually worshiping the Lord. And so they came to worship God. And we're told that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. Remember, he was a farmer. And so he brought probably firstlings, but he probably brought, not his first fruits, it doesn't say that, but probably brought some decent vegetables and fruit. And Abel, he brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And we know that that was the richest part. And later on in the Old Testament, we read of God requiring the fat, which of course was that which caused the fire to burn and consume the sacrifice. But it speaks of the richness of the sacrifice. God wants your heart. He doesn't want us to give token gestures. Here's a few dollars, Lord. Here's an hour of my time every week. The Lord wants your heart. He wants your first fruits. He wants you. He says in Proverbs, "My son, give me your heart." I wonder how many just give God token gestures. Here's my hour of the week. Here's my dollar in the offering plate. The Lord wants you, friend. He wants your heart. He wants you to give your heart to Him. There can be such a dichotomy, or not a dichotomy, a disproportionate kind of life that we live. We give hours and hours for family times, and hours of work, and hours of play. But we say, "Here, Lord, here's an hour of my worship. Here's a few minutes of my time." God wants the first fruits of our life, of our time, of our hearts. So Abel offered the firstlings of his flock and the fat. The Bible says God had not respect. The Lord didn't respect Abel's, or He respected Abel's offering, but He didn't respect Cain's. Literally, He didn't look upon Cain's. And there had to be some kind of clear indication, obviously, that He didn't appreciate Cain's offering. And many would indicate there was probably fire that came down from heaven and consumed Abel's offering. There was some visible, some clear token that God had not respect, and that Cain's offering remained as it was. That's just obviously a thought. But Cain knew that God had rejected his offering. Now, why did he reject Cain's offering? People say, well, isn't that cruel of the Lord? Cain, didn't he come sincerely of the fruit of the ground? He wasn't a shepherd. He was bringing of that which he had labored for. The Lord is holy. The Lord is righteous. And we're told in Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's. By faith. Faith takes an object. Faith is reasonable. In other words, he was believing something when he offered. We believe, as you read Hebrews 11 and Jude about the way of Cain, that Cain knew that though his profession, his occupation was respectable, God had been offended by our sins. And in order to approach God, we have to approach Him by sacrifice, by substitutionary atonement. We need a mediator. We need a go-between. And it's the shedding of blood that's important. Sin has to be removed. And sin is removed by the shedding of the blood of an innocent one, the sacrifice of another. Sin has to be dealt with, either in the life of the sinner or the life of a substitute. In order to have our sins forgiven, we have to have someone dying in our place. And that someone can only be the Son of God who became a man. But for 4,000 years, the Lord wanted to picture this. Until Jesus came in the fullness of time, a little over 2,000 years ago, God in His wisdom wanted to picture it for 4,000 years. And here's how He pictured it. Slay an animal. An innocent animal that as far as you can tell, is peerless, is spotless, without any blemishes. You need to slay that animal to indicate your humility, your repentance, and the realization that I'm offended and that you need a sacrifice. You need someone else to take your place, to take away your sins. And that animal pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and be born in Bethlehem of a virgin named Mary. And Abel appreciated that. Yes, Abel was a shepherd. It was easy for him to take from his fold. But you say easy for him? Was it easy for a shepherd to take one of his own little sheep that he had cared for, that he had fed, that he had let out into the grass, that he had cared for, and the righteous man regards the life of his sheep, and then to take one of his own and slay it? I don't think it was easy for Abel to do that. I think it was harder for Abel to slay a sheep than it would have been for Cain. But Abel, in faith, said, this is the way I must approach God. This is the way my parents taught me. And I believe I've offended God, and I need His mercy, and I need to obey Him. And so I bring my lamb. And our assumption is that for a while Cain had followed the same practice. That this wasn't the first time that they had offered. They're grown men now. Perhaps they're late teens. I don't know. But they're beyond. They're coming on their own now. They're out from their mother's apron strings, so to speak. They're on their own. And we're assuming for a while Cain had purchased or been given a lamb by his brother. And he came the same way for a while. He was saying, he was nodding as it were, yes, this is the way I must approach God. This is the way my parents have taught me. Okay, this is the way. But you can see there was a difference in heart. There was a point, and here's the point, where Cain said, away with offerings. I'm going to bring of the fruit of the ground. I worked hard to prune. I worked hard to fertilize. I worked hard to weed. I worked hard to nurture. I worked hard to till the ground. I'm going to bring fruit and vegetables. Like it or lump it. That was his attitude. He didn't come by faith. I'm going to come my way. The way of Cain. God's going to take my way or no way. So we see what was really in his heart. Cain represents the way of the world. And really, in a sense, it speaks the world has to worship. So they know. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes there's a gap in man. And he's got to fill it. He knows that He's accountable. And man attempting to worship God, for the heavens declare the glory of God, in his self-righteousness and his sinfulness says, I'll come my way it works. I'll say a few prayers, I'll give God token gestures, I'll do good works. This is the way I'm going to approach God. So it was not by faith. It was by works that Cain offered a sacrifice to God. The Bible tells us, friend, our works are filthy rags in God's sight. Your attempts at trying to be religious, your attempts of seeking God without Jesus Christ in between you and God are futile. Your works will perish, will be burned up. You have to approach God through Jesus Christ, through God's sacrifice. You've got to approach God through the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You've got to follow what Abel did. Abel brought a lamb. You must come to God and say, Lord, I plead the Lamb of God, your Son. I plead Jesus. He took away my sins at Calvary. He died in my place. I'm a wretched sinner. My lies and my lusts and my covetousness and my disrespect and my hatred and my selfishness deserve your utmost wrath. But Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Father, receive Christ for me. Save me for Jesus' sake. That's the way of the saints. But the way of the world is anything but Jesus, or the Jesus of my making. But Lord, receive me for my works. Reward me for my prayers. Bring me into heaven for my church attendance. I've worked by the sweat of my face. Doesn't that deserve your grace and mercy? The Bible says God didn't countenance Cain's offering. It's tantamount to rejecting God's way. Frank Sinatra used to sing, I did it my way. And Cain was singing here, I did it my way. My way. You go your way, friend. The way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I beg you this morning, don't go the way of Cain. Don't stay in the way of Cain. You're going to perish. There's a hell to shun as well as a heaven to gain. Works righteousness is a mark of the offspring of the seed. Later they built the Tower of Babel and said, we're going to do it our way. Secondly, we find a mark of the seed of the offspring of the serpent. After the Lord rebukes Cain, says, Cain, you need to repent. You've done wrong. And by the way, you see here, the Lord sees our nonverbal communication. All Cain had to do was have his face dropped, his anger and his bitterness. Wasn't seen in one word, as it were. Just saw his countenance drop. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? And there's a seething silence here, isn't there? There's no humility. There's no repentance. There's no, Lord, forgive me for rejecting your way. So what does he do? Cain can't kill God. Cain can't take God down from his throne. Well, he wants to. So Cain's going to get at whoever is as closest to God that he can. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He attacked him. He assaulted him. He murdered him. We see, secondly, the hatred of believers is a mark of the world. Enmity. The Bible says, I'm going to put enmity between the serpent and the woman. We have this enmity now being shown in Cain's heart. The Lord Jesus prayed, the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, because I have chosen them out of the world. Hatred takes many forms, and in this was obviously the ultimate form. Cain was seething with wrath. He was mad at God because he didn't receive his offering, because he didn't accept his works righteousness. So what was he going to do? He was going to take it out on someone close to God. Joy goes to a congregation in Greenville called Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Tanya and I were happily serving the Lord there when we were in Greenville. But I remember Pastor Minnick telling the story. I don't know if he's told it recently. His father was a minister. And his father went to visit an invalid in his basement one night. And as he knocked on the door, he heard the man say, "Come on down, Pastor Minnick." And so he went in the door and went down the stairs, and there was a curtain that had been closed. And he said, I'm in the basement, just draw back the curtain. And he drew back the curtain, and the man was holding a shotgun in his hand. He clicked back on the trigger, and he said, "You're a dead man, Pastor Minnick." He says, "I hate God, and I can't kill God, but I want to kill the one that's closest to God. Say goodbye to this world." And in God's kindness and goodness, he didn't pull the trigger. That man showed what's in the heart, in whatever degree, of the lost soul. I dislike grace. I want to earn my living. I want to earn my salvation. I want to earn eternal life. I don't like people who trust in God alone for their salvation. They have a hatred for the things of God. Oh, they may not express it, but it's in their heart. They despise grace. They despise righteousness. They despise repentance. They despise obedience. If they could, they would let loose from their wicked hearts, which is deceitful above all things. They can't stand somebody who tells the truth. They don't like praying. They don't like prayer meetings. They don't like preaching. Why take it out on Abel, Cain? Some say that Abel was pleading with his brother. I don't think that the indication here is that Abel initiated this conversation. It says Cain talked with his brother. It was Cain that set this up. It was Cain that looked for this opportunity where he was alone in the field with his brother. Abel was a meek gentleman. He was a kind soul. He loved his brother. Oh, he may have indeed pleaded with Cain to do right. Follow the Lord, Cain. This is the way of righteousness. We need to be forgiven. I'm sure that that occurred. And he didn't say it with self-righteousness and with pride. But it was Cain that sought opportunity. Like that invalid sought an opportunity. He was bitter against God for his disease, his soul. Where are you today, friend? Do you want to be with Christians? Do you delight to be in a prayer meeting? Do you love when God's Word is open? For it's His Word. It's the Word of the living God, the gracious and kind and saving God. Do you love? Are you comfortable with lost people? Worldlings? You love to tell dirty jokes? Love to get drunk? That's the way of Cain. Love to sin and keep sinning and keep sinning. Wonder where your heart is. If you're a believer and you love to be with unbelievers, the Bible says evil companions corrupt good manners. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you love the lust of the flesh? What's your regular food for your soul, your movies and your internet? Is it wickedness, lust, violence, profanity, immorality? Is that your taste? You're in the way of Cain if you're comfortable with that. You're in the way of the world. You're going to perish. I beg you to repent. Put down your shotgun. Hatred of believers. Feel it. If you serve the Lord long enough, if you're aggressively seeking to preach the gospel to every creature, you're going to feel it. There are a few people in the stadium that can feel it as they come past you. We need to love souls. The Lord saves sinners in the way of Cain. There's one Canadian fellow that comes past me every single time at the gate. He wants to do harm. He's thrown beer in my face. He's spit all over me. He's numerous times assaulted, rammed against me. There are times I've felt bitterness. I've had to ask the Lord to forgive me, but I'm praying for his soul. He's possibly going to come by again today. Pray for him. The Lord will get a hold of his heart. He needs to be saved or he's going to perish. I have to move on. Thirdly, impenitence. Where is Abel thy brother? Here's the Lord extending opportunity for Cain, as it were, to repent. And his response is more sin and more sin. He's murdered. Now he lies and shows disrespect. I don't know what you're talking about. Am I my brother's keeper? He's basically saying, don't bother me, Lord. And the Lord curses him, the first curse upon a human being. Cursed art thou. He said to Eve, or to Adam, cursed is the ground. He said to the serpent, cursed art thou. But now, as it were, the Lord is saying, Cain, you're a reprobate. You're lost. You're irretrievably lost. You've gone too far. You're at the point of no return. And Cain, like the worldling, is focusing on his punishment rather than his sin. My punishment is too great for me to bear. Did you notice? He doesn't say, my sin. The true believer says, Lord, I've offended you. My lies, my lust, my wickedness. But Cain is like the prisoner who's not concerned about his crime. He's concerned about his sentence, about his being caught, about the embarrassment. My punishment is greater than I can bear. What, Cain? He should have said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my hatred. Forgive me for my murder. Forgive me for my rebellion. Forgive me for my disrespect. The Lord puts a mark on Cain because he says, and you know, sinners are always looking behind them. Those that remain in their sin are always afraid of somebody else doing something just like they've done. The murderer is afraid of being murdered. The liar is afraid of being deceived. And he says, I'm going to be killed easily because I know there's some righteous people that are going to take my life. And I know there's going to be some lost people that are going to take my life. And so the Lord puts a mark on Cain. Some say the mark was a tremorous body, some physical mark that reminded people that this man was Cain. In any case, it says he went out. Here's the illustration of his true condition. He went out from the presence of God. Instead of falling on his face and saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The believer says, when thou settest seeking my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The Lord says to Cain, out. And that's where his heart is. He's glad to go out from the presence of God. When you look in the New Testament, when the Lord had hard sayings, many went away because he had hard sayings. And the disciples were trembling. They knew they were hard sayings, but their heart was with the Lord. And the Lord turned to them and said, will you also go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? Give your hard sayings. We need you, Lord. We're desperate for you. Thou hast the words of eternal life. But Cain, like the disciples who are externally having a profession of the Lord but no possession, went away from the presence of God. Impenitence. Friend, where are you today? You need to repent of your sins. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You can acknowledge your sin today as Cain somewhat acknowledged that he had murdered his brother. God caught him. His blood cries out from the ground. But there is no repentance. Friend, you need to repent. I beg you this morning, turn from your sin. If you remain a liar, a drunkard, or an adulterer, a fornicator, a covetous, if you remain in your sin, you'll perish. Repent today. Repent and believe the gospel. Ask God to forgive you of your sin. Fall on your face and say, Lord, don't send me out. Don't leave this place today without repenting. Today's the day of salvation. And I close with this fourth thought, a mark of the way of the world, the offspring of the serpent, is preoccupation with this world. Preoccupation with temporal things. We find that he held of works righteousness. He had a hatred of believers and the true way of God. Impenitence. And as it were, when all religion was cast off, his preoccupation was, after all, a worldling's preoccupation is with the world. Do you notice the things that are occurring? And a lot of it is in the goodness of God. Cities are being built. Families are being made. Occupations are being started. And there's even recreation. There's music. Some would argue that there's occupation included there, but there was recreation, there was amusement. Well, it's conspicuously absent. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Worshipping God. Cain was said, you're going to be a vagabond. So the Hebrew literally says he began building a city, naming it after his son. Cain was told, you're going to be a vagabond. You're going to wander from place to place. And even the goodness of God, but the revelation, one of his sons was the beginning of tents. In other words, the Bedouin, the wanderer. But here's the first construction company, as it were. Here's the Lord's goodness. These aren't cavemen. These are men making tools, tents, instruments of music, agriculturalists, farmers, construction workers. But that's all they have. For time, nothing about eternity. Their focus is on this world. Friend, where's your focus? Work? Recreation? Your life revolves around work, around play, around amusements, around self, family? Where's the kingdom of God? Families are being made, children are being born, blessings of God, but where's the prayer meeting? Where's the altar? Where's the kingdom of God? Where's the church? There's disproportion of time again, even in those who profess. Their life revolves around their work, their occupation, their family, their amusements, but the kingdom of God gets token gestures. It's the way of Cain. It's the way of the world. A lot of people going to church today. Give an hour of their time. Here, Lord, here's my token gesture. But their heart is with this world. Lands and houses and cities and music and drink. Naming lands after their own name. Having children to raise their name. He even had a couple, there's a couple names with God's name in it. There's some vestiges of original religion. These two names that mean something like smitten of God or a child of God, Methusael and so on. You see, there's some vestiges. The way of Cain, preoccupation with this world. Ungodly children. Moses, under inspiration, couldn't help but include Lamech, verses 16 to 19 and 23 to 24. He includes them as ferocious. He invents another sin, polygamy. And you see how ferocious and proud and ungodly this man is. God's going to take sevenfold. He's going to take vengeance on anybody that kills Cain. What does he say? Forget God. I'm going to take 70 times vengeance on anybody that dares hurt me. And there's an argument here whether he actually has killed two men who have tried to assault him or cross his path. Because it seems to indicate that two men have been killed. But the point is, and here's what the Lord, and you see how the Lord took off on this? He said, 70 times 7, you don't take vengeance. Lamech says, 70 times, I'll take vengeance on anybody that dares touch me. So, as if he's dismissing and saying, this is nothing. God avenging justice on Cain is nothing what I'll do with my own fist. See the ferociousness of man. The Bible talks about their strength being their God in Habakkuk chapter 1. Fear not him that can kill the body and after that can kill the soul. The Lord Jesus says to us, don't take vengeance. If they offend you 70 times 7, you forgive and forgive and forgive. How forgiving is our God? How hard we are at times. How unforgiving. Cross our path, we're like Lamech. We need to be like Abel. We need to be like our Lord Jesus. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Ungodly children, that will be the result. Are you raising your children to fear God? To love the people of God? Notice the contrast as we close today. The contrast. Verse 25, some say that Adam and Eve were so hurt, so devastated by the death of Abel that they withheld being intimate for a while because they were so afraid of bringing another rebel into the world. And so Adam knew his wife. After a while, the Lord gave them grace. So all that was living now was a lost rebel. And God in His grace brought Seth into the world. And then Seth married, must have been a godly sister who didn't go the way of Cain. And they had Enos. And then we have a figure of speech that speaks of calling on the name of the Lord representing public worship. So now the line of the godly are saying, we need to stay together. The way of Cain are getting together. They're building cities. They're staying together. They're rebelling against God. We need public worship. We need more than individual and family worship. We need public worship. And here's the beginning of public worship. Then it was begun to have regular public worship. Here's the church begun. We've got to stay together. The world is together. The world is in rebellion against God. And so what is our solution? To assemble ourselves. To stay true to the Lord. To exhort each other. As we see the day approaching, to guard ourselves against the way of the world. And so the solution is to align yourself with God's people, to leave the path of Cain, to join the way of Abel. Grace, righteousness, the love of the brethren, repentance and faith, and a focus on the kingdom of God and our citizenship in heaven. Align yourself with the godly. That's the solution. Turn to Christ today. Be delivered from the way of Cain, which will end up in the way to hell and eternal damnation. The marks of the serpent seed. Only the Lord give us the marks of the Savior's seed. Shall we pray?